Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He went and said to the first, 'My boy, you go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not go.' But afterwards thought better of it and went. The man then went and said the same thing to the second, who answered, 'Certainly, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did the father's will?" "The first," they said. Jesus said to them, "I tell you solemnly, tax collectors and prostitutes are making their way into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you a pattern of true righteousness, but you did not believe him. And yet the tax collectors and prostitutes did. Even after seeing that, you refuse to think better of it and believe in him." This is the gospel of the Lord. "My boy, you go and work in the vineyard today." "Certainly, sir." But he did not go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a rather grisly story told in the book of Judges. I'm sure you're familiar with it. The story of Jephthah. He was one of the judges of Israel. A leader. He was fighting the Ammonites, a neighboring tribe. And he vowed to God, he said, "If you bring me back victorious from this battle, I will sacrifice to you the first living thing that comes out of my house on my return." Well, he was victorious, and his daughter heard of the victory. And she went out to meet him. And he was utterly devastated. He told his daughter the vow that he'd made to God. And the daughter said, "Well, if that's the vow you have made, you'd better carry it out." And so he did. A terrible story, not one that I'm recommending to anybody, because Jephthah's vow was a rash vow. He should not have kept it. But it speaks volumes of the way in which he and his daughter respected the word promised and spoken. It was the very early days of God's revelation to Israel. Perhaps if it had happened a few centuries later, when the Jews were more enlightened by God, Jephthah wouldn't have been so stupid. But the seriousness with which those ancient Jews regarded the seriousness of their word is surely something that we can ponder on. It's an attitude which still prevails, I believe, in the Arab world today. But it doesn't happen in our Western world all that much. And I've said to you before that one of the most difficult things about being a priest today is dealing with so many people who tell you one thing and do another. Dealing with so many people who promise you one thing and do another, who promise God one thing and do another. In fact, the whole of the church's life is centered around the great sacraments of God's love and God's grace. And each of these great sacraments involve vows and promises, serious vows to God, not just promises, but vows to God. The vows of baptism, to follow that vocation of holiness which God has given to each one of us. The promises of confirmation, that we will live up in a mature sort of way to our Christian calling. The vows of marriage. And so often, in all these, we see the vows taken and disregarded. So often with baptism, the most fundamental of all sacraments, people come and they glibly say, of course we will bring the child up in the faith and the knowledge of God. And they don't. And children getting that kind of example from their parents make the promises at their confirmation that they will live in a mature sort of way, the Christian life. But they don't. And the statistics on divorce tell us all we need to know about that. It's a sad state of affairs, but today it seems to me that in our Western society and even among us as Christians, we have almost forgotten the meaning of promise. As my mother used to say, people regard promises as pie crusts, something that is intended to be broken. And yet, we as Christian men and women, we should, even more than the general public, we as Christian men and women must be very conscious of the promises we make and endeavour more than they do to live them out. Because we are essentially children of the promise. Now that's a nice phrase, children of the promise. But it's true. It's fundamentally true of you and me. We are children of the promise. God has promised us things. He's in the process of promising, but he has kept so many of his promises that we know that the promises still made will most certainly be fulfilled. He promised to save us, and he sent his only begotten Son into our world. Christ promised to save us, and he died on a cross for us. He didn't cause somebody else to die, as Jethro did. He died himself. And the church is the people who believe in those promises that have been made and have been fulfilled, and the promises which are still to be fulfilled, that one day God will gather us together to himself. It is expressed most beautifully in the new translation of the Mass. And as it comes in the communion rite towards the end of Mass, before Holy Communion, we hear it every time that we come to Mass. We await the blessed hope and the coming of our Saviour Jesus Christ. The blessed hope. The blessed hope that our lives will be totally fulfilled, that everything will be sorted, and we will live in the company of God and those we have loved forever. God's victory being realized in our lives. This is the great hope, the blessed hope that we have inherited as children of the church, children of the promise. God's promises never fail because God is truth. And we know that God is truth because his promises never fail. And our own promises, like God's, tell us about ourselves. If we are untrue to our promises, if we do not keep our promises, we are not true to ourselves. We're not being as we should be, basic human beings, reflecting the truth of God. We demean ourselves profoundly, intimately, when we do not keep our promises. And we who bear the name of Christ, when we break our promises, we are so unlike him who kept his promises to the end. And so, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us pray that we, like God, may always be true to our word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus, our human wisdom assures us that a man is as good as his word, and your teaching and example confirm this ancient wisdom. Make us, we pray, and our families and our society, to be as good as our word, to respect and fulfill the word we have pledged, the promises we have made. Lord, in your mercy, we give our solemn word to you at baptism that we would reject Satan and all that he stands for. Sadly, we have not always kept our word. Help us, good Lord, to live out more faithfully that wonderful vocation to holiness you set before us at baptism. Lord, in your mercy. When you confirmed us in the faith and made our Christianity mature by the gift of the Spirit, we again made our solemn promise of fidelity to you. How often we have failed. How many of your so-called faithful people have broken their word totally, turning away from you and away from your church. Lord, forgive us and bring us back to you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, our society is littered with broken marriages, promises once made in gladness, now broken in sadness. And as parents show themselves unable to keep their promised word, the rising generation is bereft of good example. O Lord, come to our aid. O Lord, make speed to save us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, you are the Word of God. You are so true to yourself that you are the truth. You pledged yourself to save us, and though this meant death by crucifixion, you did not hesitate to keep your promised word. As Christians who celebrate your saving death in this Holy Mass, may we learn from you. Learn to be true to our word. Learn to live out the truth and discover that the truth will make us free. Lord, in your mercy. Mary gave her word to the angel and stood by it through thick and thin, through the agony of Good Friday and the jubilation of that first Easter Sunday. May her prayers assist us in the vital aspect of our lives. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits you have given us, for all the pains and insults you have borne for us, O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother. May we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly. Amen.
Amen.